Preaching tonight is not for you. It's for those who aren't here. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like you to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And verse number 6. It says, but without faith. Now that word faith doesn't mean belief. What it means is faithfulness. And God is saying, but without faithfulness, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God's saying, you know, if you really want to please me, you have to be faithful in everything. And it's not for nothing, because I will reward you. I will give you something in return. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word tonight. That God, it would penetrate not only our mind, but our heart, and cause us to be more faithful to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 14. How many know that God is preparing a banquet for us? Right now, I believe that we're just about at the threshold of God returning based on the things that I see every day. I know, God, you got to be coming soon. And in Luke, the 14th chapter, starting in verse number 16, it talks about that. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'll tell you what, folks, I want a taste of the supper. Amen. 2 years ago, I got an invitation to my class reunion. And I was very excited about it. It most likely would have been the last chance to see old classmates, with the emphasis on old. It was scheduled for a Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because, most of them are all retired. And I sent in my $40 for the meal in advance, about a month in advance, and I left the invitation on my desk so I wouldn't forget, you know. My wife and I got dressed to go, and I grabbed the invitation just to check the address where we were supposed to go. And to my surprise, the reunion was the Thursday before. Oh, it's a good feeling, you know? Hallelujah. My last chance to see old friends. I missed it forever. They say when you get old, two things happen. You lose your memory, and I can't remember what the other one was. My old pastor would say about every service, if you miss the rapture, you have missed it forever. No second chance. I had a great excuse. Two this invitation. I was preoccupied with life, and I missed this reunion of people that I wanted to acquaint myself with. Each of us get a special invitation from God. We all have, and I mean special. I put it aside for a lot of years, knew God wanted me to come, but I put it aside because I was so preoccupied with my life, perhaps some of you. There are some people that have passed on that I want to reunite with in heaven someday. I really do. Brother Carpenter, I want to see him again. I want to stand on streets of gold with Brother Carpenter and Brother Curatola, Sister Terry Bailey, Sister Beulah Thompson, my mother, my father, Tom Grueling. I want to see him dance on streets of gold. I want to be with my grandson, Summit. They'll all be there. They're certified. They're going to, they answered the call. They got the invitation. And I know they'll be there. And I don't want to miss that reunion. Church, we don't have an excuse not to make it all the way. We've got all of what we need. We've got the word. We've got the power of God within us to get through anything, to have victory in order to get to the banquet. Hallelujah. Five virgins didn't make it because they were preoccupied with things going on. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just too busy. I can't be with the groom. But there were some wise. Hallelujah. Amen. There's somebody in my life years ago that has had such a significant bearing on it. His name was Brian Wiseman. Brian Wiseman was a missionary to South America, and he got saved. And when he got saved, he just threw himself into everything about God. And became a missionary. Every time you would meet Brian, he would always say the same thing: God loves you. If you were a stranger or you were a saint, he'd always say that. And then he got cancer. He had to come home from the field, and he progressively got worse. He would come to church, and you could see he was so sick. And a few weeks later, he'd have a cane. And then a few weeks later, he was on crutches. And after a while, he couldn't even walk on crutches. And they literally carried him into church and put him on the back pew so he could be there. I'm going to see Brian one day. He made it. Do you know why? Because he was faithful. Now, if Brian Wiseman could be faithful, but I've been serving you, God. I am a missionary, God. Doesn't matter. I just want to be close to God. I just want to be in the house of God. Oh, he's a rewarder. Have you ever heard the saying, excuses, excuses? I think I've heard them all as a pastor. I Googled the 10 best excuses for missing school or work. The dog ate my homework. Little hard with iPads today. My car wouldn't start, but I take the bus, you see. My grandfather died for the fourth time. You tell your boss that you're convinced that the world is coming to an end and you just want to spend the last hours with your Xbox, you know. I mean, God has heard them all. About an hour before church, I start getting calls from people. And they're telling me that they can't make it. And most of them are very legitimate excuses. I really appreciate those calls. And now many times it's a text. But there are those excuses that the enemy wants to use. You know? Are your kids really sick? Do they have too much homework? I have nothing to wear. Everyone is talking about me. I'm tired. Yesterday was a hard day. I just am not accepted by everybody. They haven't shaken my hand in a long time. I'm not good enough to come to church. I made too many mistakes. I've been wronged by someone. Let me ask you, is there anybody here that hasn't been wronged by somebody? Has there been anybody at work who has offended you? Did you come back to work? Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. If you weren't here Sunday night, I had a really great message on UFOs, you know. I'm glad I got that out of the way. I really am. 1 Peter 2, and starting in verse number 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. How many times, you know, we're at the wrong end of a conversation and somebody accuses you or says something rude to you and that's it. You know, I've said this so many times, I'll say it again. You know, church has got nothing to do with people. It's got everything to do with your relationship with God. You know, if something happens at the office, I don't go home and kick the dog. What did Jesus say about those who wronged us? Take a look at Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew 5 and 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You see, it's just upside down with God. He's saying, you know, love your enemies. Do good unto them that don't do good unto you. In fact, I've said this before. A number of years ago, we owned a business, a clock store. I rented from a lady. She lived up above the clock store. And she would come down in the middle of the night, leave the doors open. We had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of clocks, and she just didn't care. Turned the humidifier on in the middle of the summer, and some of the clocks were just totally damaged. And so we ended up in court. And I remember walking into the judge's chambers, and I had everything laid out, what I was going to say, and God said, do not open your mouth. I will defend you. So many times we think we have to defend ourselves when God's saying, now let me handle this one for you, you know. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Do you realize? What a privilege it is to be chosen by God, literally. Church, just the honor that we have to be chosen, the few that have received the truth of God's word, should motivate us to be as faithful to God, because I'm one of the elect, I am one of the few, I am one of those who God personally send an invitation to. Hallelujah. We are the ones that heaven sent out special invitations to. Not everyone gets a personal invitation from God Almighty. Jesus said in John 15 and 16, ye have not chosen me. It boggles my mind to think I didn't choose God. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you or placed you in the church that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I thought I was the one who found God. But there was something in my heart, there was something in your heart that God saw. He's the one who monitors your feelings. And then he sent out an invitation. I don't know who it was with you. I know it was who it was with me. The honor of being chosen by God, you just didn't stumble into this truth, folks. It wasn't just a coincidence. Oh, by the way, I talked to this person, he told me about the Holy Ghost. No, it is not a coincidence. God planned your every step, perhaps saving your parents so you could be saved. The people who brought me into the church, they're not even in the church anymore. They don't even care about God. Did you know that when he used them, He used them as an instrument in order to get you in the church. I could have left the church many times because people disappointed me, but it was God that sent the invitation. It was not a man. And it isn't going to be men who will keep me in the church. It'll be God. Well, there's people who just aren't living for God, and so I'm not going to come to church. Really? Isn't your motivation because God sent the invitation? It's God who's doing these things for you? If I could just drive this point home tonight of the value of the invitation, then none of us would ever miss church without a very good reason. You know, I can still hear my old pastor saying, bless God, when the church doors are open, you need to be here. Oh, and I was so offended by that. No, I was so protected by that, you see? Because the more church I have, the safer I am. The parable was of a great supper, referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb that God is preparing for each and every one of us. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. You've heard it preached before. I've preached it before. One brought a piece of a land, and he had to go see it. Really? How many of you bought a house or some land? And, well, I got to go see this thing, you know? No. What kind of excuse is that? You know, another bought 5 yoke of oxen or 10 oxen, and he never tried them before he bought them. So now he had to figure out if they're really worth what he paid for. Have you ever bought a car? Why drive it, you know? Why even look at it before you send the money in? What Jesus is saying in this parable is, what lame, feeble, flimsy excuses they gave. And the master of the house was angry. Well, I just can't come because I married a wife. Now, if you marry the right wife, she's the one who will insist that you come to the supper. Glory to God. And each and every one of us literally are the wife. Can we stop each other from coming to church? I guess we could. So what was the reaction of the master? He was angry. The first chosen made excuses, so he commanded his servant that us folks go quickly and bring the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, not the pick of the litter. I am not the pick of the litter, folks. We probably are not the pick of society, if you will, because they're just too good. They're too busy in order to respond to the invitation. And he said, there's still room. So now the Lord commanded his servants to go out into the highway and the hedges and compel them to come or restrain them. You've got to come to the supper. You've got to. This Sunday, incredible, you have to be there. Instead of, well, we have church on Sunday, and I don't know if you're not doing anything. God's saying, maybe we ought to get a little more aggressive and compel people to come. Listen, somebody compelled me to, they literally compelled me to come to church. And those that made excuses, he said, shall not taste of my supper. Oh, glory to God. Turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, please. Hebrews 6 and verse number 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible or rare for those who once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good words of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, just one little vacation, one little detour, and all of a sudden we can't find our way back. And that scares me, folks. Hallelujah. Probably the message I needed the most was the one that I missed. Church, our invitation is engraved like never before. It wasn't just hearsay. It wasn't a message from someone who heard about the supper. It was an invitation that came down from heaven in another language from God. We can never say that we didn't get the invitation because we heard ourselves speak in another language. We know that we heard from heaven in the miraculous. We can't just put the invitation on a stack of all of the other meaningless invitations that we get every day. We'll put God aside. One day I'm really going to get serious about living for God. Once I get the education, once I get the house, once I get the marriage, once I get... This one came directly from God in indelible ink, forever imprinted as the greatest experience that we have ever had. And we know more than anybody else, this God is real. He knows our thoughts. He knows where we're at. He knows our intentions. The 11th chapter of Hebrew is called the Hall of Faith, listing all of the faithful people of the Old Testament. And the Hall of Faith is for those who are the faithful. Maybe God is writing another chapter and he wants to put your name in it. But in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and starting in verse number 13, these all died in faith or faithfulness, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. How important is this life in comparison to eternity? But now They desire a better country, that is, heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, what a city it is. Our God doesn't want to have to beg and plead people to be saved or to serve him. This is supposed to be a pleasurable experience with God. This should be fun. This should be exciting. This is supernatural. I didn't get married because someone told me I should get married. It was because I was in love and I couldn't imagine living apart. Here, these are handcuffs. Put them on. You'll like marriage. You know? Here. Come to church. You got to come to church and it'll be all right. You know, you just hang in there. I don't want to hang in there. I don't want to play church. I want to be church. I want to enjoy the times that I have in the church. Our relationship with God should be a pleasurable one, wanting to spend more time with God. I've used this story before as well. If you've heard it, close your ears. When we were first married, I bought a horse. I thought this is going to be the best thing. It was an Appaloosa. It was a beautiful horse. You know, I boarded it at a place. And what I didn't realize, it was gelded late in life. And it just was ornery, you know. It just didn't want to do what I asked it to do. The thing that I thought was going to be pleasurable was just so irritating to me because it didn't work the way it's supposed to. Well, church could be like that, but when it works the way it's supposed to, when you give, when you're faithful, man, I can't wait to get home from work because I love my wife and she's prepared something for me. I just can't wait to get to church because I love my God and he's prepared something special for me. Hallelujah. Not struggling to maintain control of our own lives. During the Pony Express days in America, the horse riders were charged with delivering the mail as fast as they possibly could. Each postal location along the route was responsible for providing the rider with a fresh horse when they got to that post because the horses would tire from being ridden so fast. And after the next horse was given, it seemed like it was almost faster than the one they got off of. So what's that got to do with this message? Anyway, unless you want to be a Pony Express driver, I believe each of us have been chosen by God to deliver the mail as fast as we possibly can. Amen. Time is running out, church. The problem is this in the end times. We have been riding the same horse, and it's tiring. We got on the same horse back when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we haven't got something fresh in order to speed towards the supper. We as a church have been trying to do too much on our own, in our own strength. We don't fully understand how important it is to come to church in order to get a new ride, something fresh, something that's going to propel us to go further. Turn to Acts, the 3rd chapter. Please. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the..." Wait a minute. "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." See, I need to be refreshed. You need to be refreshed. And that can only happen in the presence of God. We need the times of refreshing from the presence of God. The original Greek for refreshing means recovery and revival. In every service, there is recovery and revival, a freshness. Can't keep riding the old horse. As eventually it's going to collapse. We try to do it on our own without God's presence. So we get refreshed from the presence of God, but also from one another. You see, when I see people who are faithful, when I see somebody coming on crutches, when I see somebody who just out of surgery, when I see people who are struggling in so many other areas, I'll tell you, it does something to me. There isn't anything that gets me more excited than seeing people who are faithful, service after service after service. Acts 27. Verse number 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. We come among our friends to refresh ourselves. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, you look so good. And you say, God did what for you? Nothing encourages me more than when I see saints in the house of God. A pastor goes through a lot more, most saints never are privileged to, and consequently, the ministry needs more refreshing than ever before. And I know I don't spend a whole lot of time before service going and shaking hands with people, but I really need to get the mind of God up here at the altar. And it's wonderful to communicate with each other, but I'll tell you what, the real purpose for coming to church is to get a hold of God. And I'm telling you, it's really imperative that you touch base with God before the service. Take a look at Romans, the 15th chapter. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. You see, Paul, you need refreshing. Hallelujah. My wife can tell you, after a Sunday morning, being up very early, going over notes, praying, delivering a message, I get home and I'm absolutely wiped out. Now, I could cut 6 trees in my yard and shovel 2 yards of ground and have more energy than I do after delivering a message. Like Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. There's something about dealing with the Word of God. And I don't believe that I'm isolated. I believe just being in church, worshiping God, and being in the presence of God takes something out of you. That's why a lot of you got to go home and have a nap on a Sunday afternoon, you know. When any other day, you don't have to. Glory to God. It's that Pentecostal nap. You have to have it. Amen. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse number 9, it says, whom shall you teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Here on Wednesday, here on Sunday. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. I'm telling you, you will have more strength by coming to the house of God. When we get the rest and the refreshing, it's also a protection from what the world and the enemy throws at us. It's part of the purpose of the church and our holiness stance. And lastly, it is also a refreshing to God. I don't know how God needs to be refreshed, but he's refreshed because he sees us, he hears us, he knows our emotions. And in Proverbs 25, Proverbs 25 and verse number 13, it says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, sounds like today. I was at the church today, and the entire grounds was pure white, covered in snow. April 21st. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Oh, God, I want to be refreshing to you. I can't imagine what God has to deal with. You know, you're dealing with a certain amount of people around you, me as pastor dealing with a congregation. What does God go through every day knowing what is going on? Excuse is a precursor to quitting. And I don't want to see anybody quit. I want to make it all the way. Because I've got a reunion to go to. There's some people I want to see. There's some people I want to hug their necks. There are some people that have been so faithful, and I know they have made it. It wasn't easy for them. And there's going to be a day where I'm going to stand on streets of gold, and we're going to have a reunion. Hallelujah. For eternity. But I have to be faithful. Amen. I'm not going to miss this one. Would you stand with me, please? I guess it would be so easy to say to people, well, if you can get here, you know? But that's not my job. You should be glad. Because I'm that sheepdog on the hill overlooking the flock. I want to make sure that the enemy doesn't get to you. But we make it all the way. All the way. The altar is open. Would you come?